I'd ask of you now your kind and considerate and prayerful attention as our brother would present to us the message and the words of life, our brother Gordon McCann.
Good morning to each of you. It is a good morning. It's a beautiful day outside. We have a full plate ahead of us, things that we can enjoy and to look forward to throughout this day. As most of you know, more recently, I've been able to make it a matter of prayer, and the Lord has opened a way that I can actually have and found and secured a job here in Phoenix, so I'd be able to be here on a regular basis. And one of the things that I was thinking about this morning, or actually when I was preparing my sermon, that there was some kind of a parallel there that I wanted to share with you, and it's part of my sermon this morning. You know, I made it no secret to my employer that, you know, if I can find something, I will move along, because my ultimate goal was to be in Phoenix, and that was accepted. And I'd been praying about it, and an opportunity came up, and so I pursued it. But it took a while to get it all formalized, to get the formal proposal from the employer, and to get an exact date. And I knew this in the back of my mind, and so I tried to put together a list of those things I wanted to get done for my employer, so that when I left, that I would leave with all those things, at least as much as I could, done and in order. And so I went down that path. Then when I was given a date, and I gave my 2 weeks' notice, I increased that effort to try and get those things done, those things that I had listed or whatever. And by the end of the 2 weeks, I thought I kind of covered it pretty good, until the moment that I sat down with my boss, and he was going through the list of your separation, you know, all the basic stuff that you have there. But as we were going through that list, I was in my mind and in my heart, here I am with the man that I wanted to, you know, leave with no stone unturned, you know, everything in order. In my mind, I start thinking, you know, I could have done this. Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I think about this? There was a litany of things that came to my mind when I was sitting there in that chair in front of my employer going, well, why didn't I take advantage of this when I had the time? And I said, you know, there's an abject lesson to this, and it's in the scriptures. And because one of these days, as you can read in the book of Revelation, one of these days we're going to sit down with our employer. He's going to have a list. He's going to open up the books. And then he's going to open up a book. And he's going to make that comparison, that checklist. And I'd venture to say, there's going to be those things. Why didn't I take advantage of this when I had the time? Why didn't I do that when I had the time? Why didn't I think about that? Why didn't I do it? I want you to think about that this morning. I want to start with a scripture verse. We can find it in James in the 4th chapter. It's in the 14th verse. It should be familiar to you. Here it says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now for me, coming up on 58 years, you know, I can look back And I can think about an event in time. I'll bring one kind of close. My wife and I becoming man and wife. That was over 30 years ago. Whoa, how fast did that go by? What were all the opportunities within there to make that life even better? Or I think about in my days when I was in the military, or when I was a kid, or when the day I was baptized, and from that time now. And how quick it went by. You know, when you just sit and think about it, you go, oh my goodness, was it that much time? Bob and I were thinking about, well, how long had he been here? And we were just trying to think of an event, and we're going, well, was it 15? And then, oh my goodness, 20 years. That's how long. That's how fast time goes. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. I know we're going to feel that when we're in the presence of our Lord. Where'd the time go? Wait a minute. I want some more time back. But we can't redeem time. Our allotted time is today. From now until the time we lay down our life. I think about the scripture that you can find in Ecclesiastes. Pretty familiar scripture there in the third chapter. Many times people will read this during if you're a minister, you're probably reading it for somebody's funeral. You're reading this to kind of bring together a person's life before everyone there. Starting with that first verse, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. And that's important to understand, that this time that we're allotted is that plan of God for you and I. And truly it is under heaven. And God so ordained that we would have these seasons in life that we might prepare to meet Him. So it is, it's a time to be born, to have life, to be given a spiritual life and a physical life. A spiritual life that once we enter into, when that little newborn comes in, it has a spirit that will never die. And so when a man and wife come together and they bring forth a child, it's very important to understand that. That's the beginning of the seasons of the life of mankind to be born. And then as quickly as that is, a time to die. Just like a vapor. A time to be born and a time to die. But in between those two times, we have all those other seasons that we might be able to enjoy. So the psalmist says there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up. To find ways to support yourself and feed your families and the physical things in life. We have that season in our life. A time to kill, and we know and understand that is to, for our protection and our freedoms that God has given us. And a time to heal. To find forgiveness. To mend those fences. And to do those things in our life that would make that season more pleasant. A time to break down and a time to build up. Tearing down those buildings and destroying those kinds of things. Cities that actually relates to kill. Destroying your enemy. and a time to build up, or to build up and to repair, as it is to heal. A time to weep. We've had opportunity to do that, where we weep for ourselves and weep for those that are with us in their sorrow. A time to laugh. How many times can we think about those opportunities? We've been together and we've had a chance to laugh, you know. There's lots of good times to think about, pure and wholesome times where we were able to be together to laugh. Laugh as a people and laugh as a family. And a time to mourn, where we're able to experience those things in life that are part of life and death. A time to dance. A time to cast away stones or those fortifications. A time to gather those stones to build up, build your homes. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. Throughout life, we're either winning or losing, you know. In our jobs, in our schooling, in just life alone. We're either going to be winning something or we're going to be losing something. It's just part of life. And that's a season. That's a plan of God, that those things might be part of our life. A time to keep and a time to cast away. My wife is learning that. We're both, you know, getting up in age, and we've got a lot of stuff we've collected. We don't necessarily want to leave it for our progenitors to have to deal with. And so it's our time to clean up. To cast away those things that really are either cast away, give away, whatever. But there was a time in our life we wanted to keep it. Well, we want that. We need this. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. Many times those kinds of times are kind of hard and difficult, depending on our character. A time to love and a time to hate. In a time of war and a time of peace. Then the psalmist says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And that's, after all of that, that is probably the most important part of this whole reading, is to have the understanding that God has set the world in this heart of ours that prevents us from seeing that complete plan of God without his help. Putting in full display our inferiority. Our weakness in the flesh. And how we soon forget the plan of God for you and I. And how the world quickly casts God aside, thinking that they know better. Some of the things we were talking about this morning in Sunday school. Let's go to Alma in the 19th chapter. You could turn to page 448. There's a couple of verses of scripture here. This is one of those truisms. It has to do with what the psalmist said, that there was a time to be born and there was a time to die, and what we can expect. Here I'm Verse 43 says, "Behold, it has been made known unto me by an angel." So the author here is telling you by what authority he is going to tell you this bit of information. That the spirits of all men, as soon as they are departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to the God who gave them life. And they are able to be taken home to the God who gave them life because of one person, one entity, Jesus Christ. His blood, the redemption of mankind, brought back man into the presence of God so that that spirit would no longer be separated from God, but have an opportunity to return to the God who created it. All mankind. Look to yourself now. Think about that. If you haven't thought of it very, you know, taken some time to think about it, this spirit, this consciousness that's within us will live when we die. And we'll be presented to the God who created it when we lay this life down. So what manner of man or woman should we be with such great knowledge and understanding of what's going to happen to this consciousness when it is then now presented before your God and my God? And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those who are righteous are received in the state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all care and sorrow. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of the wicked, yea, who are evil, for behold, they have no part nor portion of the Spirit of the Lord, for behold, they chose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil did enter into them and take possession of their house. So who was it that made that proclamation that that spirit was good or that spirit was evil? And by what judgment was made? Was it not the Creator? The one who set those truths in order? It's not going to be us. It's not going to be somebody else. We're going to be judged of our God if we are righteous or not. So what manner of people should we be? In Alma, in the 16th chapter, and let's see, we'll go over here to page 430, three verses of Scripture. To go along with the author of Ecclesiastes, speaking about the seasons of life, here on verse 228, it says, "Behold, for behold, this life is the time for men, or mankind, to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors." Isn't that what the psalmist was saying, or Ecclesiastes? You're born, there are seasons within your life, giving you opportunity to prepare to meet God, and then you die. Both in harmony with the plan of God. So what should we be doing? Let's go in the 16th chapter of Alma there. Let's go over to the next page. We're going to look at verses 237 and 238. "And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that you should remember these things, and that you should work out your salvation with fear before God, and that you should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that ye receive it and take upon you the name of Christ, that you humble yourselves even to the dust, and worship God in whatsoever place you may be in, and in spirit and in truth. And that you live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and the blessings which he doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptations of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects at the last day, for behold, he rewardeth you no good. I would take those couple of verses of scriptures and put them over there in Ecclesiastes, because it is a reminder of how throughout those seasons of time in our life that we would conduct ourselves within those seasons. The source of understanding of who God is through the Holy Ghost. Working our salvation, making those decisions, walking that path in which God would have us to walk. Being conscious always within those seasons that there's a God and that he cares for you and I. He wants you to be there with him. You are separated from him now, only coupled by the Spirit of God. That's the only link that you have until you die. To be mindful, to humble ourselves, even to the dust, understanding our position in that plan. We are made of the dust. Understanding the mercies and the true desire that our Father has for his creation. And then to be watchful, attentive to working out that salvation so that God would have power in us that we might be able to overcome those things. That when we lay down our life that we might be judged worthy, righteous individuals. I know in my life I think about that. How many times have I stumbled? How many times have I fallen? How many times have I endeavored to get back up? And there's a scripture about that. Let's turn to Proverbs in the 24th chapter. And so maybe you want to write this verse of scripture next to in Ecclesiastes in the 3rd chapter there as a reminder of what the Lord is looking for as we work out our salvation in fear. Here in the 24th chapter of Proverbs, verse 16. For a just man or woman falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. What does he say? What is the psalmist saying here? The righteous man or woman who falls, and I think about that question that the Lord was asked, how often, Lord, shall we forgive our brother or our sister? 7 times? Do we forgive them only 7 times? Then we just condemn them? What was his answer? 70 times 7. So if the Lord would say that and make that statement, then why would we think that when we fell that we're no longer worthy? What would make us think that? Unless it was Satan having a desire for us not to accomplish our goal. So true was the psalmist, and I'm going to insert the words of Christ. For a just man falleth 70 times 7, but he gets back up. And he might live and have life. And he might enjoy being with the Heavenly Father in his kingdom. But a wicked person would say, I give up. It's too hard. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave this world. I'm not going to listen to those things because it's too hard. That's the wicked person. That's a faithless person. That's a person that has no hope. And the things that God has so ordained for the children of men. Let's turn to Hebrews in the 12th chapter. Verses 5 through 7. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Doesn't that relate to that Proverbs that I had read? So that cycle of life within those seasons when we fall down, what do we tell our children when they run across the room and boom, bang their head on the table? You know, we go over there, we run over there, we hold them and try to comfort them at the time. And hopefully we hope and pray that we set them back on their feet, and if they're bleeding, we stop the bleeding, whatever it might be. But don't we comfort them and assure them that life is going to go on? And yeah, we're going to have these bumps at times, but we're going to get through it. And did we learn a lesson here? Maybe we shouldn't be running right around here, you know? Isn't that what we do as parents? Don't you? God is our parent, and he does the same thing for us. We run around, and we fall down, and we smack our heads really good. We knock ourselves senseless in something. And the Spirit of God is there. Pick us back up. Say, now, all right, Gordon. Now, what did we learn here? What are we going to do different? Life is going to be okay. You're still one of my children. Now, I expect you to get back up and walk. Let's back up one chapter, chapter 11, verse 6. Now, we want to probably write that in over there in Ecclesiastes 2, because this will help us through those seasons of life. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So taking that example of that little kid running across there, wham, and he hits his head on that coffee table, what is the first thing that's going to come out of that child's mouth? Mom! Or dad, not necessarily, but mom for sure. Mom, help me! You know? That child had every ounce. It's not faith. This is knowledge. I scream, Mom, Mom's there. You know, that's knowledge. But that's what the Lord is expecting us. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So that when we stump our toe, if we don't think about exercising our faith and crying to our Creator, God help me. God help me. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've had several spiritual experiences in my life dreams where I was in peril, and the only thing that took me out of that peril when I did this very thing, Father, help me. No different than when you found the house of Israel, when the Lord said, he held up that, when Moses was to hold up the staff with the serpent, and when they were bit by that kind of a serpent, all they had to do was look, and they didn't die. And that was an example to the children of Israel that there was a God who cared for them, and they needed to look. We need to exercise our faith and look. No different in that concept there is in the Book of Mormon. Actually, the Book of Moroni in the 7th chapter. Page 767. Here we find in verse 45, it says, and again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? So, obviously, when that kid bumped their head and they cried out, Mom, they had a hope. Well, Mom is going to hold me and make it better. Right? How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? There was comfort. It's no different for us. Comfort. Relief from the pain. As adults, it's spiritual pain. Spiritual discomfort. Because we find ourselves opposite of the plan of God at that moment. We don't have peace in our heart. Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith to him according to the promise. And so it is through those seasons of life that we have to remember and not forget our faith and what we hope for, eternal life. And how is that going to be attained? Through the atonement of Christ. Let's turn to Mosiah in the 2nd chapter. You can find it on page 220. Let's start with verse 10 through 12. And also the atonement, which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man or woman who receiveth salvation through the atonement, which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, whichever were ever since the fall of Adam, or who are, or whoever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. A very simple plan, a very simple concept, but not that easy to follow, is it? Because really it goes back to that proverb concerning the Lord put the world in our heart, and we forget about the things of that spiritual realm. So we need an abiding comforter to be within us. And that was part of the plan of God. that as we acknowledge the plan of God and we repent and come fully before God in humility and receive the commandment to be baptized by that individual who has been called of God to do so, and then through the laying on of hands, that they would receive thy comforter within this temple of clay, to be there. To be there when they lay that life down, that when they are then presented to their God, who is there? The comforter that was given to you by way of Jesus Christ. He's mine. She's mine. You can't take her. Satan can't possess it because you're claimed. In the 13th verse, believe in God. Believe that He is and that He created all things, both in heaven and earth. How quickly is the world trying to tear that part away from us? We were talking about it this morning. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth, relying wholly on God and His plan. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. Again, why? We've already read why. We have the world in our heart. So we should be believing in those things that God has so ordained to be written. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourself before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, what does He say? See that you do them. No different than that child. We've given up the comfort. We've mended the wounds. And they've experienced that thing. And they get up and they walk. And the next time they start to run and they see that coffee table, whoop, whoo, whoo. See now, that hurt. That wasn't fun. I'm going to slow down and walk around it. The plan of God. In more simple terms, the doctrine of Christ, let's go over in 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter. And let's just read a couple of verses of Scripture here. Starting with verse 32. It says, behold, verily, verily, these are the words of Christ. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine, and this is my doctrine. And it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. I bear record of the Father, and the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. Taking that world out of our heart that was placed there. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it from the Father. And whoso believeth in me, believeth in the Father also. I skip verse 34. Let me read that. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they who shall inherit the kingdom of God. That beautiful plan in all its simplicity for the children of men. You have redemption and salvation. Redemption, the fall of man at the beginning. Christ redeemed mankind that they would be brought back to the presence of God. Salvation, that you might live with God eternally and not be separated anymore. Two different things that must be considered in our life. Let's go to Alma in the 10th chapter. And let's go to page 351. And now, my brethren, starting with verse 27, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that you would hearken unto my words, and cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. I can hear my Savior say that to me. I wish from the inmost part of my heart, with great anxiety, even unto death on the cross, even unto pain, that you would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that you would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name and watch and pray continually, that you may not be tempted above that which you can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble and meek and submissive, patient, full of love and long-suffering, having faith on the Lord, having a hope that you shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that you may be lifted up at the last day with the caveat and enter into his rest. And may the God and may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that ye may not bring down his wrath upon you, that ye may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that ye may not suffer the second death, which is that eternal separation from the God who created you. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. May God bless you.